It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Ready to go on a Monday edition of the program. Hope you had a great weekend out there as we join you from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Got a good show coming up for you. We will review what happened over the weekend. Talk Iowa Northwestern. Got a feeling a lot of people with a lot of comments and a lot of opinions about what happened at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. We will talk about that. The world of college football, look at the NFL. And Game 3 of the World Series comes up tonight as the Dodgers, with a 2-0 lead over the New York Yankees, will look to make it a stranglehold with Walker Buehler on the mound with a less than 100% Shohei Ohtani. We'll have the game for you coming up tonight beginning at 6 o'clock with the pregame and around 7 o'clock with the first pitch tonight. Text line available to you, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well if you'd like to pick up the phone and join us on the program here today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash, my name, Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining me coming up in a moment. Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass, our producer here from the southwest side on a Monday. Mark, good afternoon. Hope you had a good weekend.
I did, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And Monday is maybe my favorite day of the year in the sports talk business, huh?
Of the year or the week?
The week.
Okay. Well, you just never...
I think I said the year, but yeah. Every week it seems to be interesting on Monday.
You just never know where the conversation, the direction is going to go, do you? I know where it's going to go this Monday, though, by golly. Hi, Isaac, how are you?
I'm doing all right, and I expect there to be, again, a lot happier show this Monday than last Monday.
But still a lot more
positivity, I think.
Still some consternation and hand-wringing.
Oh, there's always at least a little bit
because,
of that.
Because, you know, it cannot be a drama-free Monday.
No.
Except for the when you guys had it, what, 3 weeks ago now?
Yeah, that one was pretty easy. Everyone was pretty easy going that day, it felt like, after the Washington game.
I missed that one. We will talk Big Ten, Big 12. Iowa State off this past Saturday. They will be back on against Texas Tech for homecoming, coming up at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames at 2:30. Iowa, another night game, as they will host the Wisconsin Badgers for the Heartland Trophy coming up on Saturday night. So definitely looking forward to that. Text line again, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And Mark, for whichever reason that you are taking in, there was a new sheriff in town on Saturday for the Iowa football team. And that was Brendan Sullivan. And to a tune of 35-0 before Northwestern scoring at the end of the ball game, as Iowa beats the Cats to go to 5-3 on the season by a count of 40-14. Were the numbers earth-shattering for Brendan Sullivan? Absolutely not. 9-14 for 79 yards passing. Did run for 41 yards. Ran for a touchdown. But for whatever reason, there was a lot more skip in the step of the Hawkeye offense and defense and special teams on Saturday.
And the result today is that Sullivan is listed number one on the Iowa depth chart. And, of course, that never means everything 100%. But Cade McNamara is nowhere to be found. It's Marco Lanez, the second-team quarterback. And after the game, Kirk Ferentz said McNamara got shook up. I believe it was when he threw the interception that was returned for a touchdown. Earlier, in the first quarter, he was threw another interception on a duck, really. But Northwestern was called for roughing the passer, and he got hit pretty hard there too. But I think it was later in the second quarter when He threw that just a poor interception that was returned for a touchdown for Northwestern. But Sullivan came in. The results were not immediate. His first three series were three and out. But then Caleb Johnson ticked off a 26-yard touchdown run at the end of the first half. And Sullivan was out there the second half. And what he lacked for statistics, he simply gave Iowa a spark. He gave Iowa a rhythm, I think, that it was lacking. And I think the pivotal play came not on a run or anything like that, but on a play early in the third quarter. Sullivan at quarterback, he fakes a pitch to Caleb Johnson going to his left, and then Sullivan rolls right, and it was like a push pass. You know, it was like a five-yard pass to Johnny Pascuzzi, a reserve tight end that went for 40 yards. And it resulted in a touchdown, Sullivan's touchdown, and the race was on from there. Wiegen with a punt return for a touchdown, Caleb Johnson with a couple other touchdowns, five touchdowns in 15 minutes. And again, it wasn't the gaudy statistics. It was the spark in which Sullivan gave this Iowa team that was the biggest difference. And we don't know for sure about Cade McNamara. Perhaps it's injury, perhaps a concussion of some kind. I'm not going to speculate. We aren't going to know until Kirk Ferentz speaks tomorrow, at least officially. But he is not listed, and Sullivan is the starter this week.
It's going to be it's going to be the first question. It's going to be a lottery between the newspaper and periodical folks covering Iowa, who is going to win the toss and get to ask the first question about the quarterback situation. It's just the way it goes. Quarterback is the most important person probably in sports, and that's just the way it is. What the answer is going to be, I don't know. A lot of people speculating the fact, well, yeah, this is just a cover-up. Listen, he took a couple hard shots in that game. Cade McNamara did, Mark, via Northwestern's defense. And I texted you right after the pick six. And I am paraphrasing here, but it was something to the effect, if this is ever going to happen, it is going to happen right now. And it did. Now, is it because of injury? Is it because of performance? Well, only Kirk Ferentz and Tim Lester know the real answer, and Cade McNamara and Brendan Sullivan, and they aren't talking, and they aren't going to be talking, and that's fine. But the facts are, based on the depth chart, as you mentioned, there is no Cade McNamara this week. It is Brendan Sullivan's job at the moment. 319-366-1600. 2757 on the text line. What should we make of two punts being returned already this year? Caden Wiegen was the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. Gene and Vinton, I think Sullivan probably fits Lester's offense better as well, the RPO. And it was a spark, Mark, yes, as you mentioned, but... And it's very hard for a defense in midstream to change things. As you talked about there, with just having the threat of a run and a running quarterback, you could see that Northwestern's defense, after a couple of series, and Brendan Sullivan kind of got his feet wet a little bit, they were on their heels. And you mentioned that little shovel pass ahead and Brendan Sullivan sprinting downfield to be the lead blocker on that. You don't see many quarterbacks in college, or certainly not in the pros, that are going to be doing that. But Brendan Sullivan, and I think there was a lot of spark as well, just because the other team on the other sideline was wearing purple and Brendan Sullivan was there all the way through spring practice this year. He had a few very choice things to say to the Northwestern bench on several occasions through that game. And you put all that together, and I think it was a spark for the Iowa football team.
No question it was a spark, as it turned out. And let's be clear that Kirk Ferentz said in the post-game news conference that playing Sullivan was pre-planned. He used those words. Quite a coincidence that he was inserted after McNamara's interception, whether it was because of the interception, whether it was because McNamara was hurt, or whether it was because that was the time that the pre-planning called for. And it just turned out that way, I guess. But my point is that Kirk Ferentz said it was the plan all along to give Sullivan some repetition. And as the game played out, he was the quarterback the rest of the way. And again, Sullivan didn't have immediate success. 3-3 and outs to start. I think what happened in my mind as I watched the game, Iowa's play calling changed, whether it was because Sullivan was at the controls or not, but Iowa stopped at some point trying to run up the midsection of the Northwestern defense. Caleb Johnson was gaining nothing, in fact, losing yards. And I think the schemes changed a little bit. And Tim Lester's play calling with Sullivan on the field. It was the same way Caleb Johnson having no success with Cade McNamara in the lineup. And early on when Sullivan came in, the same thing. But then I think the philosophy changed a little bit, and Iowa ran some different things.
319-366-1600. Some interesting things coming down as far as the text line is concerned. Just having Sullivan in there, says Rod, in there opens up things more for Caleb Johnson and the running backs. Just his running threat helps, even though his passing numbers were not there. 48-75. The season is over as far as playing for anything meaningful. I don't buy that yet. I mean, the Hawks could be 9-3. No, they're not going to the college football playoff, but 9-3 season's still pretty darn good. So I say let Sullivan play out the season, see what we have in him. He obviously gave the offense a spark, so why not? Greg and Epworth says, first of all, it's Wisconsin week. Darn right it is. Worst thing Northwestern could have done is hurt Cade, which piggybacking with that with 27-57 says Cade takes hard shots because he is a statue in the pocket. He's not a running quarterback. He is definitely a drop back passer. We can all agree upon that. After the crowd was chanting, "We want Sullivan," after the pick six. And Kirk's not listening to the crowd. I can guarantee you that one. 318, Cade McNamara, for whatever reason, on the bench. It will be Brendan Sullivan against the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, with that being said, Mark, you got to remember, Northwestern had the short end of the stick on Saturday afternoon because they were not prepared. I mean, they were told what Brendan Sullivan could do if he got into the football game, but that is a lot different preparation for a drop back passer than somebody that runs the RPO, the run pass option. And it's going to be a little bit better preparation for the Wisconsin defense, who I thought Saturday night showed pretty well until the back half when Penn State kind of put it away up at Camp Randall. But it's going to be a different preparation for this week because Wisconsin knows what's coming.
Yeah, and I think any coach worth his salt, I'm talking about David Braun here, the Northwestern coach, was prepared for Sullivan, at least in goal line situations when he had film on that. So I think, while he might not have been prepared for the whole game, he certainly was aware of Sullivan having been at Northwestern and Sullivan having appeared in games in certain situations. But I think we got to be a little careful here with Sullivan. It's one game. I know he started a game at Northwestern, games at Northwestern, but this Northwestern team is not very good. It was pretty good against the running game up till this particular contest, but Iowa, you know, had a lot of success in the run game, and Northwestern's offense is awful.
Awful.
I don't know how they got scored as many points as they did against Maryland, but I mean, this is a team, and Reese Dakin's punting had a lot to do with that in the first half, putting Northwestern in bad field position repeatedly. But this is really a bad Northwestern defense or offense, I'm sorry, and wow. Iowa's defense came through as it should have.
319-366-1600. Yes, Sullivan gets the reps this week to prepare. It's going to be interesting to see how Sullivan plays out against Wisconsin. Much better team. And as Greg and Epworth says, yeah, Locke's pick six really turned that game, and then it was all over but the crying, including for me with the Emil's Hideaway pick six. We will get to that coming up here in just a few minutes and give you the results of that. Much stiffer competition coming up on Saturday night for the Hawkeyes with the Wisconsin Badgers. I mean, it's a rivalry game, Heartland Trophy on the line. It's basically, over the years, the two bullies as far as the Big Ten West is concerned. It is a protected rivalry. I mean, just keep adding things to that, to the narrative. And as 1626 points out, you beat Northwestern. Shmeh. Hey, Northwestern and Iowa have been pretty even Steven over the last decade or so. And you can't say that about Vanderbilt anymore. They almost knocked off Texas on Saturday night, and they did beat Alabama. But Vanderbilt and Northwestern will not be confused with one another this year. And the Iowa defense did allow 0 points, says 31-10. 319-366-1600. We'll get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up here in just a little bit, and we'll also take a look at everything else that went on around the country and around the Big Ten and the Big 12. Some very interesting things taking place. Other than the quarterback, which everyone wants to talk about, Mark, other things that jumped out to you on Saturday afternoon?
Special teams, good and bad. I think Dakin, as I mentioned, he averaged 45 yards a punt on 8 punts and had 4 inside the 20-yard line. And then, as a previous texter pointed out, a second punt return for a touchdown. I kind of looked at that as well as kind of mop-up time and whatnot, but it still counted. The Troy punt return for touchdown was kind of at the end of a half. And so I guess what I'm saying is that you got to defend those punts, whether it's the first punt of the game or the last punt of the half. So I'm sure they're on that right now. I thought the defense, as it should, against a lousy Northwestern offense, played very well. Max Llewellyn with the safety. Jay Higgins had a strong game. But the offense still, I mean, scored touchdowns on 4 rushing plays, safety, a field goal, a punt return. Iowa scored in a variety of ways, and that's the way Iowa's won a lot of games. But things that stood out, Iowa was 6 of 17 in third down conversions. That's not good, obviously. And up until probably into the second half, Iowa's rushing game was not particularly strong. So, you know, no game's going to be perfect. You never have a quote-unquote complete game, and this wasn't. There was another one of those games. Iowa played pretty below average the first half and then came on the second half.
Greg, don't worry. If Wisconsin wins this week, you can be as unbearable as you like on the text line. Now, if Iowa wins, don't disappear. We cannot have that. We're not going to give you a hard time. I'm not giving you a hard time. Mark's not giving you a hard time. I can't, you know, talk about Isaac. Isaac, are you going to give him a hard time?
Maybe just a little bit. Not that bad of a hard time, though.
I mean, not that bad.
Nothing crazy. Just a slight, a little bit of a hard time, though.
Yeah.
I give Justin a hard time on the text line from now and then, too, so.
Got to do it.
But he's welcome to give me a hard time if Wisconsin win. It goes both ways.
Good-natured ribbing, right? That's all we're asking for. 325. Let's get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update, and we'll come back, talk some more football. Got to get to some baseball as well. We got game three of the World Series coming up tonight between the Dodgers and the Yankees. Cal Eldred will join us coming up tomorrow. But as I mentioned, want to get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Eagles Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Not only the sponsor of our the Eagles Hideaway scoreboard, but also of our pick six. And Mark's going to tell you about the winner of said pick six on the report today. What do we got?
On the scoreboard, more quarterback news in the Big Ten. Penn State quarterback Drew Aller listed today as a quote-unquote game-time decision as Penn State prepares to host Ohio State this week. Aller suffered a lower body injury against Wisconsin and did not return in the second half. Former Iowa assistant basketball coach Kirk Spiroff will be inducted into the Central Florida Hall of Fame this coming Friday. He's a former Central Florida coach. In addition to being a former Iowa assistant, he was a former Iowa player. Many coaching moves in the WNBA. After Christy Sides was released by the Indiana Fever today, the Connecticut franchise and Stephanie White, the head coach, mutually parted ways. White, rumored to be, because of her Indiana ties, rumored to succeed Sides with the Fever. World Series Game 2. In fact, all of postseason baseball has done very well in the United States. World Series Game 2 averaged 16 million fans in Japan. 18.7 watched the Dodgers and San Diego in Seoul in March. So this was the second highest viewed game in Japan. A lot to do with Ohtani and Yamamoto for the Dodgers. And as far as the Eagles Hideaway pick six, Dave prevailed this week. A much better week for the panel. Dave went 5-1. Scott and Spencer 4-2, and Mark 3-3.
Not bad, though.
And that meant, with Dave, the winner, that meant a $30 gift card to a listener, Isaac.
That goes out to Douglas, who I will call in just a moment.
All right. Douglas, congratulations on that. And another chance to win coming up this Friday with the Eagles Hideaway pick six, as the panel will get together one more time and pick some games at that particular moment. 319-366-1600, 328. And we will step aside, take a break, come back, take a look at the Big Ten, the Big 12, the country, and more when we return. You're listening to The Gym Class for a Monday right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we're going to have cloudy skies and strong winds out of the south, boosting temperatures into the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. Winds will be gusting as high as 30 miles per hour, and then tonight we keep the clouds and the wind. That will hold temperatures in the low 60s. Then tomorrow it gets even warmer as winds pick up toward 40 miles per hour. Temperatures will be climbing into the low 80s and nearing records. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaides and Terry Adams of Dairy Brothers Ford talk about what Here For You means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement Here For You, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star, and the bake sale continues this week at your neighborhood Quick Star. Are you ready for a sweet trip down memory lane? Quick Star's got those fresh baked cookies and muffins just like Grandma used to make. You can grab one of those muffins. Did that this morning. It was absolutely fantastic for $1.19. And you can pick up anything from glazers to cake donuts and more as the bake sale continues this week. Only at your neighborhood Quick Star. And also, while you're there, pick up some Karuba coffee. Right now, if you use and swipe your Quick Rewards card, it is only 79 cents. Any size, you can get a small, medium, large, you can get the extra large, does not matter. 79 cents right now for delicious Karuba coffee when you use your Quick Rewards card. That is right now at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Did your IT provider break up with you? Or did they raise your managed services rate sky high? I'm sorry to hear that. This is Patty with Network Computer Solutions. At NCS, small businesses are just as important as bigger ones and deserve the same exceptional IT services. Give us a call at 319-247-7223. We'll talk over what you need and how we can help. NCS would be honored to welcome you into our circle. Call today.
Nitro Circus is back with an all-new electrifying show. Our elite lineup features top athletes who will push the boundaries of what's possible with jaw-dropping stunts, high-flying tricks, and heart-pounding excitement. Experience world-class competition and unstoppable energy that will blow your mind and keep the entire family on the edge of their seats. Don't miss Nitro Circus November 3rd, live at Alliant Energy Powerhouse. Get your tickets now at creventslive.com.
When you grow up in a family business, shop local just hits different. You basically absorb the idea that these people's jobs, their lives, literally depend on you. And that's pretty crazy. It's also the lives of all the people they impact. So like, somebody chooses my family's business, then our employees choose other local businesses. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond. The ripples just keep expanding and make the whole community stronger.
1600 ESPN is a local business. We're here just like you. Choose local every time you can.
Coming up on 3:32, back with you here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. As I mentioned, Cal Eldred will join us coming up tomorrow. We will get to the World Series before 4 o'clock here today, just to mention it. And we have Game 3 coming up tonight. Just breaking news, Shohei Ohtani is going to play. Despite that little tweak, he will be in the lineup tonight for the Los Angeles Dodgers, as they have a 2-0 lead over the New York Yankees with Game 3, as I mentioned, coming up here tonight. Text line available to you has been very, very active at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Mark, as far as the rest of the Big Ten is concerned, Drew Aller, as you mentioned on your Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, did get injured. I got to think that unless it is huge and very significant, that he is going to make a go of it against Ohio State coming up this Saturday. I mean, that is it for Penn State. They have got to beat Ohio State to get to the Big Ten championship game. Just my personal opinion. Maybe he's hurt beyond that. I don't know, but I fully expect to see Aller under, well, not under center, but in the lineup for Penn State.
I think so, too, although his backup played very well in that game against Wisconsin. So I think Penn State will be pretty well equipped. Certainly Aller would be a huge benefit, but we'll see how that transpires. And Indiana, man, I made the comment Saturday. I wasn't all in on Indiana because it says Indiana across the front of the jerseys. What is Indiana doing being good in November? And they are. They're a very good football team. But I think Oregon, ranked number one right now, I think is maybe the class of the Big Ten right now.
Most of the quote-unquote power ratings have moved Penn State ahead of Ohio State. Are you buying that, Mark?
We'll have to find out Friday when we make a pick.
I agree. I give Nebraska a lot of credit after getting rolled at Indiana, having to go back over to the Eastern time zone, take on Ohio State. Now, granted, Ohio State was playing the week ahead of Penn State, but you still cannot overlook Nebraska. I tell you what, it was a couple of little tiny calls away from that game being a lot closer, or perhaps going the other way, but Ohio State did get the victory. Whoop, we lose Mark? I think we did. All right, we'll get him back on the horn here. Isaac, I'll let you answer that question.
Sorry, what was the question again? You have to repeat it for me.
I was talking about the fact I think you got to give Nebraska a lot of credit for the way they played over at Ohio State.
It was certainly a lot better than the week before for them. And you do have to give them credit. They held in defensively pretty well. They put up a pretty solid effort. I don't know if that means that Indiana is necessarily better than Ohio State, like some people are saying. I think Nebraska just had a really... I think they took stock of that Indiana game and looked at all of their weaknesses and just improved on the next week. And that's usually what happens with a lot of teams, too, where if you lay an absolute egg 1 week, the next week you usually are at least a little bit better. And so I think that's probably... You kind of split the difference between the two there.
Indiana, though. I agree with you, Mark. I'm all in on the Hoosiers, man. Maybe not like Pat McAfee all in, but I think Indiana's a pretty good football team. By the way, Mark, are you there?
I am.
Okay.
A little unforced error on my part. Go ahead.
The Indiana Hoosiers have not been behind all year, and they took care of business again against Washington. They go to Michigan State. And then the two games that are going to mean everything for Indiana, Michigan and at Ohio State. And at Ohio State hosting Indiana a week before that team from up north takes them on could be very interesting. Could be interesting indeed. Indiana's got to win one of those games. As an 11-1 Indiana team get into the college football playoff with the schedule they've played?
I think the last few words you mentioned are the schedule they played, because and let's not sleep on Indiana's trip to Michigan State this week, okay? Let's put that out there first. Michigan State's not great, but we saw what it did against Iowa. But this has been, we knew this going into the season, this schedule for Indiana. FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington. That's how it has gotten to 8-0. Still has to play Michigan at home and then at Ohio State after this week's game against Michigan State. Doesn't play Oregon, doesn't play Penn State. Very advantageous schedule for Indiana. The thing is, the Hoosiers have capitalized.
That they have. Just beat whoever is in front of you. And on the other sideline, Oregon, the beat rolls on. Penn State, yeah, we'll see how that goes this week. Am I going to stick with my Penn State's going to the Big Ten championship game prediction? Find out on Friday about that. Oregon took care of Illinois pretty handily. Michigan had a big second half. Wisconsin had the pick six, so there were several things. Minnesota got to 5-3 with the win, a big win on Saturday over Maryland. USC won. Yeah, Friday night. Are we really impressed? And we thought Rutgers was going to be really good, and Rutgers is 4-4 at this particular time. So that's your Big Ten thumbnail at this particular time. 319-366-1600. I don't know if I'm sold on Michigan yet, Mark.
No, I'm not either. In fact, the Big Ten, you got 18 teams. Only four of them have fewer than two losses in the league. This has been you want to call it average, you want to call it a lot of pretty decent teams beating up on each other. The cream has kind of risen to the top here. Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, and now Indiana undefeated. The rest of them, as we're going to see in this Iowa-Wisconsin game, Iowa-Wisconsin, identical records, 5-3 overall, 3-2 in the league. Several teams at 3-2 in the conference right now. And we talked a little bit earlier that I think you made the comment that, you know, the everything's out the window for Iowa in so many words. And you kind of push back on that. Yeah, it could still go 9-3. But I think it's perception, what you expected out of Iowa. What did you expect out of Michigan? What did you expect about out of these some of these other teams?
Yeah.
And in some cases, I know we're going to move to the Big 12, but a team like Utah, we thought that was going to be a playoff contender. All of a sudden, it's 4-4 and not a factor in the Big 12. So expectations don't meet reality all the time.
I'm not Jerry Jones all in. I don't think anybody can be Jerry Jones all in. Only Jerry can be all in. True. A couple of texts to get here to before we turn to the Big 12. At the beginning of the year, it says 0818, wasn't all the talk if the Hawks go 11-1, they're in the playoffs? Is the Hawks' schedule harder than Indiana's schedule? And I say yes. I believe it is, Mark. Barely. But the game against Iowa State makes all the difference in the world. Even though it was a loss, it's still a very tough game.
Yeah, that game sticks out when you compare the two teams. Iowa State versus Florida International, you know, that are those opponents don't equate. But again, you play who's in front of you. As somebody pointed out, Indiana's not trailed. It's done what it is needed to do against the schedule put in front of it. And now it's going to be really interesting. There's a lot of energy and enthusiasm in the Indiana camp, and it's a really good team. Played very well without its top quarterback. And I'll be interested to see how it does against the Michigan States and Michigans and Ohio State. Indiana closes with Purdue, which is what? A rivalry game? Purdue's pretty bad. But that's what's in front for Indiana.
That's the bucket game. Of course, the old oaken bucket. One more in Iowa. Milton, Iowa City asking for our thoughts on this. So with McNamara not on the depth chart, is that so Linez can get some reps? Nah, I'm not thinking that is the reasoning behind that. That's just my initial knee-jerk thought about it. It's going to be Brendan Sullivan, obviously, getting the vast majority of the reps due to the fact that Brendan Sullivan, you know, was in that position as the backup quarterback prior to that. I don't think we're going to see Linez unless something injury wise happens or it's a blowout one way or the other.
Well, Cade McNamara may be out this week. We don't know for sure, but doesn't mean he's out for the whole season. So, Lane, as I think at number two right now, is just for this week and for information purposes only, meaning the depth chart.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Big 12, Iowa State was off this week. They get added again against Texas Tech, who fell on Saturday to TCU. Right now, the four teams at zero or one losses in the Big 12, BYU and Iowa State undefeated. Cougars are 5-0, Clones are 4-0, K-State, and oh, by the way, freshly minted top 25. Yeah, they won't go away. The Colorado Buffaloes are 4-1. After that, it is an absolute absolute traffic jam with teams behind them, not including the Utah Utes, who somehow, Mark, found a way to lose to the Houston Cougars over the weekend in football.
Yeah, back-to-back losses. In fact, four straight losses after Utah went to Oklahoma State. And we know about the Cam Rising situation, but this is a team that's fallen on hard times, losing to both Arizonas, to TCU, to Houston, 1-4 in the league now and 4-4 overall, and not a contender anymore. Could be a spoiler, but not a contender.
Well, now the Iowa State game going to Salt Lake City does not look quite as intimidating as it once did. Now, with that being said, you've got the Holy War this week. As Isaac can tell us about, you know all about the Holy War between Utah and BYU.
I don't know all about it, but I do know it is. I like it. I think it's a fun rivalry. I know my uncle, he went to Utah, teaches at BYU.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he has a tie that has both teams on it that he wears during this week.
BYU has the game against Utah this week in Salt Lake, Kansas at home, then at Arizona State and Houston. Very doable if they can get by Utah this week. You got to think pencil in perhaps BYU as a 12-0 Big 12 championship game participant. I got to think that is what a lot of people are leaning to at this point, Mark.
It's possible, certainly. And the way the schedules work out, BYU does not play Iowa State or Colorado. It is at Utah this week, as you mentioned. BYU has already beaten Kansas State and beaten Kansas State soundly. And Kansas State's still in it at 4-1. As far as Iowa State goes, the only other undefeated team in the league, does not play BYU, does not play Colorado. So, that's too bad the way things have shaken out here. But I think it's a four-team race now between BYU or among BYU, Iowa State, K-State, and Colorado. And I have to take my hat off to Colorado because I thought it got an unnecessary coverage last year through the first three, four games, and a lot of hype and whatnot. Lost the rest of the season. But Deion Sanders has done a nice job.
He had. Now he's got weapons. There's no doubt. All kinds of weapons. Colorado's schedule, not real intimidating toward the end. Iowa State, Kansas State, I think Farmageddon this year is on an absolute collision course. Probably to be, and I don't know. Iowa State right now is the highest rated Big 12 team, I believe. Is that the case unless BYU jumped them? Did BYU jump them?
BYU's in the top 10, yeah.
Okay, BYU did jump Iowa State. So Iowa State, Kansas State right now is looking very, very, obviously very pivotal at this point. Kansas State owns a win over Colorado. Keep that in mind. So if the Wildcats are right there in the midst of the tie, and if they somehow beat Iowa State, then they're going to be looking pretty good. And Iowa State might be on the outside looking in at this point. Still a lot of football left to be played. And if you can figure out the Big 12, let us know.
It's certainly going to sort itself out. Iowa State, a big favorite against Texas Tech, but Texas Tech has had a game or two where it showed out. Kansas, that's not going to be a gimme, I don't think, at Arrowhead. Game time for that contest not announced yet, 2 weeks hence. But if Iowa State gets into the championship game, it's going to have earned it this November.
Yeah. Before we get to a break and before we get to a little bit of baseball, just to close things out as far as the college football weekend is concerned, we had another ugly incident of fans littering the field with bottles, et cetera, in the Ohio State-Nebraska game. You had not only that, but basically was probably egged on by the fact that Ryan Day absolutely was embarrassing on the field for the Ohio State Buckeyes in that particular ball game. It's the second time we have seen this happen. I mean, Texas in their game against Georgia, now Ohio State against Nebraska. Fans, if you want to see plexiglass in front of you, keep it up. That's all I can say. Now, with that being, going back to Ryan Day, how in the world do you, as a university, the Big Ten, I got to believe, Mark, is going to come down on Ryan Day. And we may not hear about it. There's got to be a fine. I mean, that was pretty unacceptable.
Yeah, maybe not totally out of character for Day, but it created what could have been another situation as they had at Texas, in which Texas got fined big time for crowd control. We'll see what, if anything, the Big Ten does about this. But I guess one of the things I thought about is the next time you go crazy about your favorite college basketball coach getting a technical foul, think about some of these things that college football coaches do.
Yeah, good point. Especially one that's gotten, what, one technical in 6 years? But every time he looks cross-eyed at a referee, half the world goes a little psycho about...
about Fran McCaffrey, Scott?
I am talking about Fran. Fran gets a bad deal.
You can name names. Didn't Fran get thrown out of a game for two technical fouls? I can't remember.
Vanderbilt did put up a net, says 86-80. Yeah. It's not funny because that takes away from your enjoyment of the game, in my opinion, Mark. To me, I know in baseball it's a safety issue. We all know that, but bottom line, don't throw stuff onto the field, right? Don't do it.
What's worse, and this may be a rhetorical question, throwing things on the field or storming the field? What's of more danger?
Throwing things on the field. If you watch Nebraska, they had to move them off the sideline, got them away because people behind Nebraska were throwing things. You don't want that. That's bad.
I agree.
It's a bad look. 319-366-1600. We'll take a break, come back. We'll talk a little baseball with you with the World Series headed to Game 3 coming up tonight. So stay with us. More to come after this here in the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection runs now through December 6th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
At the Home Depot, we know Saturdays are for college football. That's why we have everything you need to never miss a play, like Bear Dynasty Interior Paint, their most durable one-coat hide paint ever. From a team color statement wall to a fan cave, complete with a mural honoring Nick Saban's 17-year dynasty.
Hey, I like that idea.
Nothing beats Bear Dynasty Interior Paint. It's everything you need all in one can.
Defend your game time with Bear and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior one-coat hide color collection.
Back with you to wrap things up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6, and then it is coverage of Game 3 of the World Series tonight. With the, as we predicted, Mark, this is a prediction that did come through that you, me, and Cal all picked the Yankees, so we knew the Dodgers were going to win. Isaac picked the Dodgers, I think, just to, you know, come around from the other way there. Because he knew we were going to be wrong. I don't know. We poor Cal. We've taken him down now. It still can end up with the Yankees. But right now it looks like it's a Dodger series. And what a game Friday night. Game one, one of the best postseason and baseball games, period, that we have seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, I'd agree. And, you know, the Yankees certainly have to win this game, I think, tonight. It's a must-win for the Yankees. But the comparisons with Freddie Freeman and Kirk Gibson and the timing of it all, and just a terrific game Friday night. And then Saturday, I can't wait to talk to Cal tomorrow because he's got a burr under his saddle.
Yes.
He texted us Saturday, and he's got a couple issues he wants to talk about, and it has to do with the decisions managers make about their pitchers.
In 86-83, yes, you did tell us the Dodgers were going to win the first day. You get kudos. And thank you for the picture of the brand-new Vanderbilt refurbished stadium with the netting in front of the student section.
That's a dandy.
I still don't like it. Don't throw things on the field. Period. Don't do it. It's not a good look. Ryan Day. Clark Schmidt throwing tonight for the New York Yankees against Walker Buehler, who's had his moments in the postseason. Biggest game for both of those gentlemen as far as their careers are concerned. Man, Walker's been in the World Series before, but this is a biggie. He can put the Dodgers up 3-0 and basically put a stranglehold on this thing for that particular team. And yeah, 8:37 local time, 10:37 central time, 1988, Kirk Gibson hitting the home run to win it, that game against the Oakland A's, and then turning it around some 36 years later with the home run to win it from Freddie Freeman in the Grand Slam fashion. Just that that sends shivers down your back, and the little hairs on the back of your neck should be standing up.
Yeah, it's quite a coincidence. The big difference is that Freeman didn't hobble out of the dugout and pinch hit and go ahead and hit a home run. He was already in the lineup. But it was quite a moment. The one that may propel the Dodgers to the World Series championship and maybe Freeman to the MVP. We'll see. And again, tonight's a huge game.
Still not a 100% Freddie Freeman either for the Dodgers. And getting it done. Tommy Edman. Tommy Edman, National League MVP of the championship series, just keeps getting things done. Quite a story for Dave Roberts and the L.A. Dodgers. We'll talk about that with Cal Eldred, and we will get to that burr under Cal's saddle coming up tomorrow. So we will do that on the program on Tuesday, and then your fantasy football questions answered on Wednesday. We'll talk Wisconsin football coming up on Thursday. Jeff Linder of the Gazette's also going to join us coming up on Thursday as well. Mark, have a very good night. We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Choosing the right candidates for any office can be difficult.
My office has lots of drama.
My office has its ups and downs.
I share my office.
But no matter what kind of office you have, one thing's for certain. If you're hiring, you need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds the most qualified candidates for your roles fast, and you can invite your top choices to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So, for any kind of office,
I'm really going places in my office.
My office has everything you could ever want.
Count on ZipRecruiter to find the right candidates for it. Try ZipRecruiter for